Let's see what we're doing here today. So I'm super excited to have someone on my show today who's not only an unschooling parent, but he brings, like, I think 16 years of experience in different industries, like my favorite is sustainability. And you've been taking unschooling to the next level. You are really doing a lot of information content, and you are really onboarding families who are interested in this topic. And even cooler, your son is here with me. Very welcome, Mahmoud, and his son, Arfin. Very welcome, you two, on my show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Yes. Maybe you can give me a little background check on what have you been doing before, and how did it lead to what you are doing at the moment, the project Unschooling?
Yeah, thank you very much. First of all, this beautiful opportunity so that where we can share our experiences with the people, especially your audience. Basically, I come from Pakistan, and since last 10 years, I'm working in Malaysia. And before that, I was in Singapore. We are a family of four. I got two kids. One is nine, one is six. Nine one is here. You can see he'll be talking soon. So 3 years ago, actually, the transformation happened. We were a family, like schooling family, like who were supporting the status quo always, because we come from that system, you know. So somehow we engaged with the community who were doing homeschooling, unschooling. And this idea looks really good, because when we see their kids doing stress-free things, like they were doing a lot of, you know, sessions outside the school, they were having the community gathering where they would be selling a lot of things, you know. I mean, it's really challenging the status quo, you know. And the best part is that the children, they were thriving, you know. They were like, wow, they were stress-free. So we thought that let's try thinking about this, that we should extract our kids from the school, you know. So I was talking to my spouse, and she was also a bit, you know, that was a challenge for us. So somehow we managed to come to that mindset that we need to do this transformation, you know. But, you know, we did not do this straight away, that, oh, we thought of an idea and then we went for it. No. Actually, we put a challenge on us. Like, I put a challenge on myself that, okay, currently I am 72 kg, you know. Previously, 3 years ago, I was around 100 kg. So I took this challenge that this transformation, what I want to do with my family, first I need to do it on myself, you know. So I took that challenge. In 1 year's time, I reduced my weight, I think 25 kg, you know. So you know, I mean, that is something which I just wanted to prove, that I have that consistency of sticking to what I'm trying to do, you know. And then when we were in that mindset of consistency, you know, then I withdrew my son from the school at that time, and our homeschooling started, and the transition was happening, like, from schooling to de-schooling. Then a lot of fears, challenges coming up, you know, all those things. And then homeschooling, then unschooling. So now we are transitioning from homeschooling to unschooling. So this is the story. And then all these 3 years, we learned a lot, you know, and we wanted to share our experience with the people. Because whenever I'm talking to my friends and family circle, you know, I was telling them, you know, my kids are not going to school. First of all, they would be asking a lot of silly questions, you know. You have some financial issues or what? <You know>? But they were inspired, like, whatever Arfin was achieving. So because we set some KPIs, and we have shown why. And this is also interesting, that we were recording, we were documenting everything, whatever we were doing with our kids, especially with Arfin, you know. Then we started Project Unschooling. I wanted to make Project Unschooling as a parenting platform where we'll be actually telling parents about these alternate educational pathways for free, you know, it would be free, an open source platform for parents to nurture their kids. Yeah, so this is the whole story. I've tried to concise it, but it took quite long. Yeah, so
I really like it.
Yeah, now maybe especially you can hear. Go on.
Sorry for interrupting. Yeah, I really like the part that you said you went from schooling to deschooling, homeschooling, unschooling, because this is what we've been going through as well. I mean, I was quite sure that my son is not going to go to school, but of course, we tried school for, I think, a couple of weeks, didn't work out. And of course, then we went through this deschooling, homeschooling, unschooling process. And I tried to unschool him because I'm a teacher, and it really ruined our relationship because I had expectations suddenly that weren't quite normal for the mom role and these kind of things. So these transitions from one to the next step with more freedom. I mean, it comes with so many challenges and fears. How did you manage that?
Yeah, you will be surprised that our 6 years old, he did not go to any school, any classroom for one day. So now that is an evidence that how we have coped with. So we have coped all of our fears straight away, you know, because like I've mentioned that it's a mindset. So I have actually proved myself that I can be that consistent, which would be defying the status quo, you know, because I told you, I'm from Pakistan. Food is always a temptation for us, you know, and it is very difficult to stop yourself, but we did it. So that is something which is actually coming from inside, and that is the spirit of Project Unschooling. That parents, you know, they can actually change everything. They can actually create that environment where the mindset can thrive. You know, they don't need to actually say all the words. Our strategy is always to prove something with our actions to our kids, and then they will follow. You know, we will not say, okay, Arfin or my little one, Rafe, you need to do this. No, because for children, parents are mirror. You know, they always see themselves in their parents. You know, so we realize that, and trust me, this mindset has helped us to cope all the challenges, because in my whole family, and in my native like friends and whatever network I have, none of them is doing homeschooling. I'm the only one. So, and now the message is spreading. And you would be surprised that whenever I'm talking to these Gen Zs about, mm-hmm. you know, and they were so cool about this idea. Wow. Like, I mean, recently my sister-in-law, she got married, and she's actually looking all the story of Arfin, and she's like convinced, I'll not be sending my kids to any school. And you would be surprised that her in-laws, they are in schooling business. Yeah.
But it's so good. She's spreading the word.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So that is the point why we are recording Arfin. It's not because we want to make him a celebrity or something. We want to spread that message. That, you know, our generation needs something better up to their potential, you know, and somehow they will be in a box if they would be going to a school same day. I mean, same classroom, same books, same teachers. And there are some thought experiments which I used to do a lot, that will I leave my child to my neighbor for 6 hours every day? Will I do that? You know? And this question I always ask to my friends. And everybody says, no, never. Then how come you are sending your kids to a school where you do not know the teacher, you do not know the kids surrounding your son or daughter, you know, what are their family backgrounds, where they're coming from, you know? So you are playing with their brains, actually, in the end of the day. So you really need to think. And what is restricting you to think to that extent is the status quo. Because we come from a system and we think that the system is safe, you know?
Yes.
Because it was safe for us.
Yes.
So these are the thought experiments. And then there is another thing, like we are all working in a corporate environment. Teachers are not different, you know. They are not going to school for disseminate all the knowledge to the kids, you know. They are coming there because they are earning money in the end of the day, you know. It is their job. And the productivity level of any corporate employee will not be consistent 5 days a week. Never, you know, because they have human nature in the end of the day. So this will impact their productivity. And at what cost? At the cost of 5 years old to 13 years old? Not at all. These years are really, really important. And kids need to spend time with their parents because they would get oxytocin in the end of the day, a hormone which can only be generated through the parents with the physical interaction, you know. So these are the things which needs to be told to people, you know, because it's easy to bring child into this world. The best part is, it's not being a parent, it's not my obligation will not be finished if I would be like sending him to a school, giving him all the gadgets or IT equipments, whatever latest equipments are there in the market. No, it's not. It actually goes beyond that, you know. And unschooling is but we found out it actually helped us a lot. And we are really enjoying it because our mental health, spiritually, how we have built ourselves. Like if trust me, my all friends, they would say we see a Saad 2.0 now.
Yes. Nice. So
these are the affirmations which you actually receive from your environment, which actually gives you a hint or signal that you should spread this message. And that's why we are spreading this message through Project Unschooling.
I really like that, what you said, that now you're Mahmoud 2.0, because I felt the same. I mean, I was already, I thought, quite liberated in the way I'm thinking and acting, but turned out like not at all. After I don't know how many years of unschooling now, I had the same impression, like it's giving me a lot. I mean, for my child, it's just everyday normal life to just not go to school. For me as a parent, completely different, because of course I need to see that I'm not acting like a normal parent and people call me irresponsible, where I'm taking full responsibility. So it's quite the opposite. And that is doing something with you. For a lot of parents I've seen, it's making them going back to the safe system because they don't want to be crushed under all this pressure. And for a lot of other parents I've seen in homeschooling and unschooling, it makes them so much stronger. So I really like that aspect, that this is not only for our kids, it's for us as well to live a human life. And everything else is just, for me, inhumane. And I'm so sorry for everyone who feels different. That's okay. But for my family, it was quite clear. Getting up in the morning at specific times to be somewhere at specific times to do things someone else is dictating you, that didn't really fit for me. And I really couldn't do it to my child. And gathering or growing into a strong person that can defend that position is a different level. And it really, it's not only being strong, as you said, it's spiritual, it's emotional, it's also physical, it is everything. And it's holistic. And I really like that, because as you said, these are our kids, we brought them into this world. So why giving them away in the first second they are born? It is such a crazy thought to me, because I've spent some time in the jungle with my kid and there is no school and kids are so happy. It's incredible. And there are no crying kids or babies that cry and cry and cry. It's just not happening there because they are in contact with their parents, not only physical, but in really holistic contact with their parents. So I think a part of healing this planet that humanity is destroying part by part is getting back to our kids in a manner that means every day being present, being there and not only listening to someone else dictating you how to raise your child, but making your own decisions about that and giving your own values to your kids. Because as you said, giving your kids to a stranger, what do I know about these people? I don't know their values. I don't know nothing about them. And there's so much disgusting stuff out there happening. I could never, never forgive myself if I brought my kid into a position just because the government told me so. I couldn't do it.
Absolutely. So maybe, and you know what? I mean, just to add to that point, that I always get fascinated with this idea that parents are like gardeners, you know?
Yes.
And sometimes those gardeners, they have a very small farm where they would have a bonsai tree nurturing under them. And children are not bonsai tree. Children are wildflowers, you know? Yeah. So the gardener role needs to be changed. He needs to go out in the wilderness. And I like your wild unschooling, whatever, you know? So this is something what is happening with corporate parents, I would say, schooled parents, that they have become a gardener of a bonsai tree. And they are actually killing the actual potential of their kids. And surprisingly, just look at the history that this industrial revolution and before industrial revolution, you know, before industrial revolution, our DNA was constructed and learning is actually embedded into our DNA. And this industrial revolution has tried to change that DNA actually through our education system. Because previously there was slavery, you know. Now also we have slavery. My time is like bounded by my employer. I need to be there 9 to 5. I don't want my kids to be an employee of an employer, you know. And, you know, this is a surprising fact that all the parents, when they, one of my friends, he asked me, so what is your plan for your kids? That how are they gonna go into the mainstream education? I said, I don't want them to go to a mainstream education system. He said, why? I said, look, why you think they need to go to a mainstream education system? You know what he said? I understand that you want to make them an entrepreneur, but what if they're gonna they have to do some sort of job, what they're going to do? I said, okay, you tell me, you are doing a job. If your job, you loses your job, what are you going to do? If you lose your job, what are you going to do? He said, I'll find another one. I said, okay, 6 months later, your employer fires you, what are you going to do? I'll find another one. 5 times you were losing your job, what are you going to do? I'll find another. I said, this is a mindset. Now, if my child, he's one-time entrepreneur, he'll be 100 times entrepreneur. He'll be failing. He'll never go to that life, because see, you are not thinking about entrepreneurship because it's not in your DNA right now.
Yes.
You know, you are not nurtured like that. You know, so this is something which is important, that we need a paradigm shift for these people. So this is what we are doing at Project Unschooling. Anyway,
I like that a lot. Because people are always asking me, what if he's want to become a lawyer or something like that? I'm like, I highly doubt it, first of all. And secondly, he can do whatever he wants to. It's a matter of mindset, not a matter of if you went to school or not. And the most important thing for me is, what are we preparing them for? What kind of future? I don't like the schooling system. How do I like the job system? I don't like it at all. It's crazy. So, of course, I don't want my kid to be stuck in a 9-to-5. So why should I prepare him for that? I'm preparing him for being his own person and taking his own decisions and making this world a better place, not repeating the same mistakes over and over again. We've seen what it does to people working in these machineries, like industrialized human beings, I would say. And I don't see my child as a robotic person working somewhere for someone else's dreams. And I think the whole system in my eyes is so broken. Maybe it's by default, I don't know. But if we don't give our kids the chance to change that and to create their own future, who's going to do it? Like, it's their path to do it. And it's not ours to I don't know, run behind a broken system. And I don't really understand why so many people that are really not happy in their position and what they're doing and everything, they want to feed more and more kids into this. Why? To not be alone in this pile of, sorry, shit? It doesn't make sense to me. But what I figured out the last couple of months, it's always fear. It's fear-based mindset that leads you to the conclusion, we cannot change anything. Yes, we can. With one generation, we can change everything. And there are more and more homeschoolers and unschoolers out there. What do you think is going to happen to the labor market and everything? It's going to change a lot. It's going to bring...
It is changing. Yeah, I mean, now the disruption, industrial revolution, the time between first, second, third, fourth is squeezing. Time is squeezing. And you will feel that I was reading that book, Yuval Noah Harari's book, 21 mm-hmm. Lessons for 21st Century, mind-boggling book, you know. And it says that you would be looking at the industrial revolution happening in 1 year, maybe 6 months, you know. So what your kids should be learning, they should be learning critical thinking. And the best thing this guy has identified was the factual information, you know. This is the challenge. We have information floating all around us, which is propagating us to certain mindset or certain things which we need to believe, which is being propagated from upside down, you know. So our kids will have more challenges in terms of filtering those information. So what we are doing in order to facilitate or equip our kids with that particular skill, we are giving them phones. TikTok is being playing on it and they're keep mm-hmm. on scrolling and all. I mean, this is something which would not give them that mental state where they can learn how to filter the information. They are just consuming that information. And I was reading somewhere that the amount of data we are consuming in one day, in the 16th century, a person was consuming in his whole life. So now you can imagine that the data which is being fed to us is enormous, you know, and it has implications. And this social media has changed a lot of things, like peer-to-peer pressure. Like, I mean, I'm not sending my kids because I don't want them to be facing the peer-to-peer pressure, because in the end of the day, they need to learn that emotional intelligence by staying at home with their parents or and interacting with the environment. So when they would reach to an age where they can exhibit and interact, I mean, they would be so mature at that time. Their emotional intelligence will be so mature at that time, so they can tackle the social pressure. So, oh, that person is having Mercedes. Why I don't have it, you know? So this competition is happening, the peer-to-peer competition. And if a kid is not in that environment at the early stages of his life, trust me, there is a possibility of creating a pattern where the competition would be within ourselves, you know? So how I was like, and this is the key, like how I get rid of these thoughts, because human always think about material things in the end of the day. I always think that my present moment is better than whatever have been in my past. So it means I have set a trajectory which is going upward, you know, just I need to zoom out. I need to be rest assured that my future, I don't need to worry about my future because I have already set the trajectory and law of entropy is in place. Everything needs to go in order in the end of the day, you know. So this is what I want to teach my kids. And I'm teaching my kids not just because they are my kids. I'm teaching them because I'm enjoying it, you know. I'm enjoying it in the end of the day because they would be 18 years of age. They would have their own life. They're going to go away. I don't know what are their dreams. They would be following their dreams. Like we are following our dreams and my parents are in Pakistan. I'm not staying with them. So this is the cycle which goes on and on, you know. So unless and until we nurture this passion in parents, that whatever they are doing for themselves, not for their kids. It will last forever with them. You know, that is the key, actually, in the end of the day.
Yes, that is true. I really like what you said, nurture this passion in other parents. Because when I started that podcast, I was thinking, oh my God, this will be so beneficial for so many kids, blah, blah. And after a couple of sessions of recordings, I realized it's about me and other parents, nothing else. It's just about us because leaving out school is so easy. You just take something away, but then you have to face who you are and why you are doing it. And it's not only about your kid. It is not. It is about yourself as well and giving what you just said. Someday they will be moving out. I mean, that will be a sad day, but there will be a connection still left. Because what I feel and learned over the last years was what is left is the connection, the relationship between me and my child. If I homeschool and if I'm being the teacher, yeah. And I'm not the teacher in reality, I'm the mom, then I'm destroying this relationship. So what I can work on with my child is the relationship. So no matter where he's gonna, I don't know, pursue his adventures and ideas in this world, we still have a relationship. And I can only have this relationship because I spent every day with this dude. And if not, just imagine he will be in school for 8 hours. After that, he wants to meet friends, do his homework and all these things. So what kind of time is left for parents? It's like 45 minutes or what? And that is nothing to build a relationship on. And I think it's intentional. I think they don't want us to have a good relationship to our kids because it makes strong kids that are not easily to be manipulated or propagandized or anything like that. Strong human beings. It's the most beautiful thing ever. And what I realize is, I mean, I really think unschooled kids are so interesting because they are not afraid of adult beings. They are just treating you like a human being. I really like that. And to be honest, I have the comparison because I meet a lot of schooled kids as well and a lot of unschooled kids or homeschooled kids. And I rather spend time with all the unschooled and homeschooled kids. And people are always like, yeah, they're not socialized. They're so much more socialized because they are in the real world, dude. They're in the real world. And they treat you like that. And to have that feedback of honest kids, it's the best thing in the world. It hurts, depending on the topic. But you want to grow. You want to be at another place than yesterday, of course. You want to grow into that. So I really think unschooled childhood is something beautiful for everyone who's involved. And
And you, I hope you are witnessing the unschooled patience right up there.
Yeah, yes. Incredible, isn't it? Just to breathe things out and to give stuff time. And I mean, time is not like 24 hours, but sometimes weeks, months, years. To wait for a certain kind of results. In the beginning, I was really, nervous about, because I'm a German teacher, and I was like, oh my God, he needs to learn how to read. I think he was 5, and I was really pressuring him into it. Like, oh my God, this is the alphabet, and this is how you do it. Why can't you just do it? And when I learned, I just have to let go of this idea that he needs to learn how to read by me and in a specific time frame. I was so not relaxed. I was really afraid of him never being able to read. And one day he just opened the book and he started reading out loud like he never did something else before. The same thing happened with English. I was always like, oh my God, he has to learn English. He is only speaking German and Spanish. He needs to learn English. And I tried to pressure him. I was like, there are so many apps and courses and I can find a person here on site for you. And he was always, no, I'm not interested. And a couple of days ago, I had a meeting with a very, very lovely human being. And Pauli, my son, wanted to attend, it was about him, actually. And I wasn't sure because the meeting was in English and he understood every word. And I was so proud. And he managed to reply a little bit in English. And I was like, okay, I just have to trust the journey. And learning how to trust when you grew up in a world that is not trusting you for not knowing how to do things in a proper time, that is really hard. That is really giving you some, I don't know, hard time to reflect on what society is it healthy what they reflect or bring into our heads as little kids. I don't know, but it's stopping with our kids, and I really like that idea. So maybe you can share some moments where you were really impressed or even shocked, or I don't know, really happy that when your kids came up with something you didn't expect or you have been waiting for years or months maybe to happen.
Of course,
finally.
there are a lot of things, and I want Arfin to share those stories, so
yes,
you should listen
please.
Straight from the source rather.
All yes, right, please.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me take.
First, introduce yourself and tell what you're doing and all that, and then you can start. Yeah.
Okay. So as you know, my name is Arfin Saad. It's written here. I'm a 9-year-old climate activist, and I'm really a fan of unschooling. And I'm also, I mean, unschooling is all about learning from life experiences. So I'm not sitting in a classroom right now. I'm sitting at home, relaxed, learning from life experiences. So I am a climate activist. I'm working on climate. I started my channel, Ask Arfin About Climate, started making some short stories. And you might have seen Simba the Cat or Dumpy the Dodo. I've made these kind of stories, like very fictional stories. It's fictional, not nonfiction. So the purpose of these videos is to, the purpose of these videos is to, I mean, like, explain sustainability in a fun, creative way to other to my generation, who maybe they are interested in these things. I mean, how to save the environment and everything. And I mean, I just wanted to become a climate activist. You know, after you witness all the evil and bad actions that humanity has done upon this earth. I mean, it just hits you to the core. I mean. You can't just stop it. So I really wanted to become a climate activist.
And that's pretty cool.
All of these things couldn't be, all of these things happened because of my mom, my dad, and unschooling. Because unschooling gives you the freedom to pursue your passions. I mean, it's not like you're sitting in a wall and then, I mean, sitting inside the classroom with, I mean, notebooks and textbooks stacked up on shelves, and then you're saying, oh no, I have an exam, I want to sleep. And then he sleeps like that. I mean, unschooling is just about freedom. You know, pursue your passions. If you want to do this, go ahead, try new things. Like what you said.
Sorry,
that's pretty cool.
And also, the example that my dad gave, we should be growing them like wildflowers, not a tree. I mean, it's all about freedom. I mean, I'm not against schools or anything. I'm not against the teachers. I'm not against anything. I'm actually just against the traditional schooling system, because it's like in unschooling, there is no inflexible the schedule in the school and then the tests. I mean, it's inflexible in unschooling. There's nothing like that. Just go on and do whatever you want. It's also more productive. I mean, if you go to a school, you have very less time, 8 hours, and then in that 1 hour, you're learning, like, if you're in grade three, and you're learning, like, I don't know, two division, I mean, and so if someone has a better IQ than his level, I mean, if he's in grade three and he has a IQ level of a sixth grader, I mean, they won't move him to sixth grader. And you know why? Just because of his age. In unschooling, I mean, they will start with the basics, go to the advanced level immediately. I mean, it's just go like that. I mean, I think that the unschoolers are, like, let's say 90-95% of the time more productive than schoolers. No offense to those who are in school. Actually, they're stuck in reality. They're stuck in reality. What I mean, they're stuck in reality. If the teacher asks them to draw something, they'll just draw a cat. I mean, if you're an unschooler, you would draw a human with a tail. So I mean, unschoolers are like more productive and, you
creative
know,
as well.
more creative. I mean, and they're always with their parents in the home. They get to explore new things.
Yeah. So yeah. One more thing. I mean, coming back to your question that, you know, what keeps us, what kept us motivated, you know, Arfin was like 6.5 years old and he was speaking to a school in Scotland, Stowe Primary School, to a primary section. And he was talking about climate behavior hacks because he started making videos on one of my startup. I was working on a startup and he was working. He was said, okay, I'll make some videos. And then it started from there. And this is something which is really important, like the activism, like going for the community at very early age, you know. And yeah, I know there are many clubs and school has a lot of such activities, but the impact of those activities would not last for long, you know. That would be limited to those premises only, you know. So that is also, I think, something where unschooling would provide them an opportunity that, okay, it can go for the longer period of their lifetime. Whenever they would have interest, they're going to pursue that. And who knows that it would become their passion and they would create an impact which would change other people's life, you know, at the end of the day. So there are a lot of opportunities in the end of the day. And you know, my philosophy, if you would ask me as an unschooler parent, that how I envision my kids' unschooling future, it's very simple. Like from grade 1 to grade 10, a child will be spending 20,000 hours, you know, in excluding Saturdays, Sundays, and the vacations happening. Now you imagine after 10th grade, he's gonna get a certificate which gonna enroll him in a pre-university college, you know, and then he's gonna spend another 10,000 or 15,000 hours to get the degree and get into the corporate environment where he would be starting his career. Now, our focus is that first 10,000 hours, being a parent, I should be observing the factors or the you know, it's an or the areas where my child has potential to create an impact. Like exploratory, this is an exploratory phase, you know, where I'll be, I and my children, we will be exploring different things. For example, what we did with Arfin, we started with football, cricket, horse riding, archery, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, swimming, maths, English, science, Urdu, Arabic, Quran, you know, all those things. And one day he said, I don't want to do football. I said, okay, eliminate that in the list. We don't want to do it, you know. I want to do Brazilian jiu-jitsu more. Okay, great. Let's go ahead for that, you know. And look, now the thing is that we are keep on exploring his area of interests. And once we'll identify 4 or 5 interests, next 10,000 hours, he'll be spending to master those interests. Because, and psychologist says, there was some research, that if, on any skill, if you're going to spend 10,000 hours, you will be master of it. You know, you can master that skill and you can be on top of the world in that particular interest. Now you can imagine that if my son or daughter, he or she is good in painting, you know, I don't need to ask her or him to spend time on mathematics. You know, not at all. This is being a facilitator, a parent, it's my responsibility to provide him the best equipment which can actually help her or him to nourish or mature his art. You know, he needs mentor, not teachers, you know, who can guide him or her on that particular skill, you know, or coaches. So this is the the whole curriculum, you can say, unschooling curriculum, I have in my mind that I'll be spending these 20,000 hours doing all those things.
I like it. We're doing it the same exact way. First, wow. Define the top interests. I mean, I'm sticking to three, but it doesn't matter in the end. And if this is what you're going to pull through the next couple of weeks or months, and then we're going to see if it sticks around or if you want to change something. But really going into something, into a topic really deep to see if there's a real interest behind. And it really made a difference for my life and my son's life, because he's sticking to his interests and he's growing into these directions. I really like it. So, Arfina, I have a question to you, if you want to answer something.
Okay.
So, what does a typical day in your life looks like for everyone out there who is maybe not already unschooling and is maybe worried, like, oh my God, unschooling means 24 hours of gaming?
No. Not 20. That's not even unschooling. That's like keeping that child at home. It's
So
I wake up at 6:40, 6:50. Wake up. I get fresh, brush my teeth, and then I have a class. I'm memorizing a book called the Quran. And then after that, I have some free time. I go to gym, body conditioning. And after that, I have another class. I mean, not even a class. I just practice, you know, practice the Quran. And then after that, what I do is I do English. And then after my free time, we have some, you know, rest time, me time, you know. So I play with my brother. Sometimes we watch TV. Sometimes we play games. 1 hour to, I mean, 1 hour. I mean, 1 hour, 30 minutes at least, I mean, max. And then after that, we have everything. I mean, after that, we just play with our mom. Our mom plays some games with us. And then it's evening time. And we sleep at 8 or 9. I mean, so it's not 24 hours gaming, otherwise you will be like, no, it's not 24 hours gaming or 24 hours watching TV or 24 hours just staying on the sofa and playing your Nintendo Switch or Game Boy. No, it's it's learning from life experiences. Sometimes we have a plan. Sometimes we go to the zoo, we go to a bar, we go here, we go there. So we're learning from all life experiences, even the martial arts competition. I mean, that's also a life experience. You get how the system works, you get how the referee works, you get the website, how do they put the points on the website, the submissions, everything. I mean, that's also a life experience. Life experience. You get more bonding with the parents. Yeah, it's a very good day.
That's pretty cool. I think you have a lot of similarities with my son, because he is also really interested in connecting with God. And I mean, I studied Arabic and Islamic science for 10 years, so I'm a huge fan of what you're doing. So, and my son, of course, he's not Muslim. He has no religion at all, but he's very interested. Okay. And one of our favorite topics is exactly how to be connected to God and how to be good to Mother Earth and these kind of things. And he's also into martial arts. So I think, and I hear that from a lot of unschooled kids, maybe these are the basics that are really interesting for us as human beings, I figured out. And if you're really good connected to your parents, and you are, because they care for you so well, then you are able to really pursue these areas of interest, maybe.
Exactly.
Could be. So how was the change or the transition from going to school to unschooling, homeschooling? How did you feel in this time?
Okay, so the first day, like we got the withdrawal letter and everything, signed everything. And then on the last day of school, I was thinking to myself, yay, no tests! I was thinking to myself, no tests! Yes, I'm finally free. And then what happened was then we have to go somewhere, you know, vacation. And then after that we came back straight into reschooling, learning, unlearning all the bad things that we have learned from the maybe toxic environment in the school, all the bad things. And then after that we do homeschooling, we learn subjects, we learn the skills, we learn the good things. And then after that we came to unschooling. I mean, it's a transition. I mean, unschooling was like, okay, so I guess I'll just not make a schedule and I'll just do whatever I want. I mean, it's good.
Yeah, I can imagine. I really like what you said, because it has been the same for us. My son was in school for a couple of weeks, and when I took him out of school, he had the same reaction as you. Oh my God, I'm finally free again. So I think that's a normal reaction. And then going from deschooling, and it's true, there are so many toxic points that because you're so young when you're in school, it's really easy to internal these things and thoughts and everything. And it's crazy. And yeah, so I really feel what you said when you said deschooling, get rid of these toxic things that you learned or you have been confronted with. And yeah, that's a nice journey, really. I really like that. Maybe you can share something incredible that happened in on the way to unschooling or through your unschooling journey. Maybe something you want to share that was very cool for you.
Okay. So, so when I was on vacation, and then after I got out of school, I remember that I had an interview with an energy expert, a 30-minute interview, and he gave me a free course. I did that, and he gave me another course. I had an interview with him, and then then started all my journey through this. I mean, then I put swimming. We just practice archery at home, you know, the soft ones. We just practice it at home sometimes. And then sometimes I play with my brother. And then, then I started implementing all the sports, I mean, physicality, and then swimming, and then everything. And then my first major milestone is when after I got out of school, I started the swimming, and then less than 1 year, I learned all the backstroke, breaststroke, freestyle, and yeah, so that was my first major milestone. And I was very happy when I learned that. So we used to go to the water parks. We used to do the slides, water slides, and there was a beach pool. I remember I used to stand in that, and then the waves would come. I had to swim through that and everything. Yeah, so I had many major milestones. This is just one example.
That's really cool. So what would you tell parents that are really afraid of unschooling and letting their kids having that awesome freedom that you have? What would you tell them?
Okay. What do you mean, like to convince them, or
maybe, yeah, anything that you think that they might need to hear, maybe?
Okay. I am learning a little bit of psychology. I read a book about it, and you know, on and off I'm just reading and then learning and then telling my parents about this and everything. So there is something called the bias and the reverse bias, and bias is the attitude that I think developed in school. I mean, so if someone's thinking about the grades in the exams, he may say, if I got an A, it's because of me. If I got an F, it's because of my teacher. So he's putting the blame on his teacher for him getting an F. So in unschooling, the reverse bias effect is implemented after deschooling, of course, after you unlearn the bias And then in that, you it's the reverse bias. So if you think that if I do something good, it's because of my father, mother's unschooling, etc. Or if I have any shortcoming in that, it's because of me.
I really like that. That's cool. So
yeah.
That's really cool. So do you have any plans? I mean, my child has always been asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And my kid doesn't have no answer to that. He just wants to have a very adventurous life, and that's all he knows. And I leave it like that, because who knows what he's going to be up in his life. I have no clue. But what would you answer if you would be asked a question like that? What you gonna be when you grow up? What kind of job you pursue, or something like that?
Not a job, a business.
Nice. I really like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I would like to be a doctor, open my own clinic, hospital, and I also like to be a scholar.
Nice.
So doctor heals the external body, and scholar heals the internal body.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually, nice. Yeah.
That is so cool. Yes, I really like that, because I think a lot of unschooling kids and families I met, they are really into the spiritual world. I mean, there's a lot of directions we can go if we talk about spiritual world. But the important
yeah.
thing is that they acknowledge that there is something like that, and even the kids, it's completely normal for them to talk about it, to go into these topics. So really cool. Because my son had an episode where he really was into ghosts. And there's a series somewhere about real ghost encounters and these kind of things. And he was really, yes. And in that time, he was really into it. And he was scaring me with all these stories that he had been watching. And I was like, okay, we have to work on that, because then I became really afraid of ghosts for a couple of weeks. And
okay. I think that is called a ghostbuster, you know, like
ghost
encounters. Yeah,
maybe. So what would you teach in spiritual topics? What are you interested in?
I mean, you know, the Quran, I mean, exploring the you know, the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad
mm-hmm.
And diving deeper into the tafsirs, or into the, you know, what do you call it, like a very deep translation into the Quran. Sometimes there's ayats that the original translation just doesn't fulfill its meaning. So we dig deeper into it by tafsir. Maybe you know it.
Yes, cool.
Yeah,
so I'm already a huge fan of your work. I'm already a huge fan. So if you ever really do that, please share that with me, because this is what I've been studying, how to correctly translate the Quran without the meaning getting lost or crushed or merged into something, someone else's opinion or something like that. So I'm into that. Tell me more. I really like that.
We got some books of, I mean, before we got, there's some books that is especially for kids, for tafsir, about, and it's about diving deep into the Quran. It's only available in some countries, like Singapore, so our friends brought it for us. I've started reading that, and since then I have understood it completely. I mean, it's very nice. I mean, so yeah,
that's pretty cool. Yeah, I've been thinking about that a long time, because reading the Quran I like to compare it to the Bible, because I was brought up Christian, and I needed to read the Bible in the church. I was forced to, and I always felt like these are bullshit stories. It has nothing to do with my life. Why don't they just say what they want to say in normal words, instead of putting it in some kind of weird story that doesn't make sense? So when I was a kid, I was really looking into the meaning of these stories in the Bible. And then I discovered, okay, everything is about God in the end, and how you can be connected to God. Not everything, but a lot of these stories. And I liked these the most, that taught me how to stay human, and how to not get lost in the world of full of distractions. And I think a lot of people would need to relearn this, how to not get distracted by all that noise that is surrounding us. And when I started my studies, I wasn't really aware of the Quran or anything. I was firstly studying the Arabic language, then religious science, and then I got into Islamic science. And I really went deep. And I have this fascination of the silsilas to track back who said it first, and where did they live and how did they live, to understand their translation of what they have been reading. And it made it so pure for me that I really understood the messages behind a lot of things that I couldn't grasp before. So going back to the original source of what has been said in this, like, for example, what I really found fascinating, the medieval Arabic science or scientists, as scholars. Oh, that is so fantastic. I could talk hours about it, because the knowledge that I had and how they gathered it and how they spread it is so differently from today, that it is just a world that is fascinating. And they knew so much more than average people today. It's incredible.
Yeah, actually.
Really cool work, what you want to do. Like, I really like the idea, and I'm already a fan of your work. So count me in. I want to read everything that you publish. That is really important work, I think. Pretty cool. Look,
Nice.
Thank you so much for everything that you shared with me today. If you have something left to share, because we are almost at the end of our episode, feel free, please.
Well, I don't have anything much. No, I don't have anything
much. Okay, that's great. Yeah, thank you very much for your time. Yeah, Arfin is actually exploring different things. And you know what? We did not enforce anything on him. Mm-hmm. Whatever he's doing, he's pursuing on his own. And he's memorizing the Quran. He has already memorized 18 juz, actually. And he knows the meaning of, he knows the meaning of each ayah. He knows. Because, I mean, we are not Arabs, of course, you know, so, but he understood the language. He was going to, for an Arabic class as well, just to understand, you know, and the Quran he's using is also translated. And then we have ordered this Dr. Mustafa Khattab, maybe you would have heard about him. He's from Canada. He has written 4 volumes of tafsir of Quran for kids. And this book is written such a way, like it has some backdrop story, which is a fictional story, which would actually lead you that what's the meaning of this ayah. So the Quran translation is actually created in such a way which would be meaningful to kids even, you know.
Yes, nice.
And I am also benefiting like what he has written in there, because it is written in a very simplest way. So Arfin is also benefiting out of it. And We are actually trying to get them out more often. Like today morning, they were out for some cafe, you know, out there. They were walking around. They were going for gym and sometimes library, sometimes here and there. They were like, yeah. But we have some, for his English, we have one teacher. She is actually more into like fiction. Okay, she will be teaching fiction only, poetry, you know, those type of things. Rather, we go with grades and all that. Similarly, like mathematics, algebra, okay, geometry, just feed in, yeah. Mm. We don't want to go through grades, you know. And then we have one Soroban also for Japanese mathematics, Japanese mental maths. Mm. So those things, just because businessmen have to have the calculator in their minds. Sure. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I mean, these things are going on, and I'll be sharing more in soon, God willing. As soon as we'll achieve one milestone, we'll publish it. And next Sunday, we'll be speaking for an event that is Parenting Unschooling Connection, you know.
Nice.
And that is under this learning festival, Learning Planet Festival, happening in Paris. So this festival is really good. I think you need to dig deep for that as well. Like they are actually encouraging all the alternate pathways to education, you know. So they are encouraging all I mean, you are not allowed to do homeschooling in France, I think. But they are encouraging these alternate educational pathways somehow. I don't know how, but yeah, it's happening in there. So we'll be speaking there that festival as well. Yeah.
Nice. I will put all the links to your work, to the festival, and the podcast description, so everyone can just, with one click, see what you're up to and stay updated.
Nice. Thank you very much
Thank
for your
you
time.
Thank you so much. Okay. Yes, same, it was really.
Thanks.
It was really nice. And yeah. Arfin was like, Arfin, last minute involvement. Arfin did not prepare for anything.
And nothing, like, I didn't prepare for anything.
But anyway, you did a great job. I really enjoyed talking to you, really. I mean, you were unschooled. How can someone not enjoy in conversation with an unschooled kid?
Yeah. Beauty of unschooling, yeah.
Really cool. So whatever you are up to in the future, keep me updated. If you ever want to come back to my podcast, you're very welcome. So just give me a ping and you are on.
Definitely.
Nice. Thank you so much, really.
Okay, thanks.
Take care.
You too.
Okay. Take care. Okay, bye.
Adios. Love what you hear? Then please support the Wildlife Unschooling podcast by checking the donation link in the podcast description. And leave me a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts and connect with me on social media for updates. And please feel free to drop me a text. I'd love to hear from you. Thank you so much for being part of this incredible journey.
Yeah, bye. Adios, muchachos. Nee, ich koche jetzt gleich. Ich will gleich auch zur Arbeit, dann koche ich.
Bitte.
Nein.